Job chapter 10, please. And we are going to be finishing up this chapter, verses 14 through 22. One simple thought for us tonight as we consider the words of Job as he makes his plea to his God. And so we're going to take a look at that here. Job chapter 10, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you're physically able, beginning in verse 14, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion, therefore see thou mine affliction. For it increaseth, thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witness against me, and increasest thine indignation upon me, and changes and war are against me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then, and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go, whence shall I not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Now, 2 weeks ago, we had the opportunity to go through the first couple parts, three weeks ago and 2 weeks ago, of this chapter. And just want to remind you that Job knew that it was God who preserves God. All of these things that they're in the hands of God, and God is our mediator, and He's the one that has formed us, and He's the creator, and He's the potter, and we're His workmanship, and God is the one who can sustain and comfort and take us through the difficulties. And I'll remind you what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He said, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. So as we kind of get through these things, and remember, Job acknowledged in verse 13 that God knew all of these things, and all of this that Job was saying and that God had done is a known quantity with God. So please understand, I was just talking with someone about this the other day, about how God knows all. We're the ones that are limited in our knowledge. And Job is understanding this. Now, his friends are still going to, and we're going to hear from Zophar next time, but you understand that his friends are still going off of, if you will, as they call it, simple facts. God loves the righteous, judges the wicked. So therefore, since you are experiencing this extreme judgment, you must be wicked, Job. But that's the conclusion that they're coming to. All right? And so we've got to realize we don't know all the facts. We don't know all the things, if you will, about God. We do know the principles. We do know the philosophies, the ideology about God. But if you will, in Job's day, I don't know what all examples they had to follow. I don't know what all things had gone through human history at that time. Please understand, a lot more water has passed under the bridge, right? Since then. A lot more examples have been made, etc. And so, and of course we have all of the writings after this book, but also all of the New Testament writings and the things that happened to the church, and the illustrations and examples that Jesus gave, that the apostles gave. we have a lot more to work with than Job and his friends had to work with. And think about this. I thought about this as I was reading through this. If there would have been a prominent example of a righteous man experiencing great tribulation like this, surely they would have known about it and could have said, maybe God is doing this in your life. But as far as I can tell, with the sentiment of these three gentlemen and Job himself, only wishing to die and saying to God, basically, God, I don't know what you're doing. Just listen to what I said. He said here in the end of middle of verse 15, he said, I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine affliction, for it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. He doesn't understand why God is doing this. But by the way, that's what leads me to my summation that he doesn't know the devil's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He assumes that this is God's hand of judgment upon him for something. And he says, God, mark me. I know you're going to, if I'm sinning, you're going to mark me and you're not going to acquit me for my iniquity. If I'm wicked, woe unto me. He said, if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. He said, I'm not going to be proud about it if I'm righteous. So he says, I don't understand. And folks, listen, there are some times where we don't understand. And instead of being like Job is in this particular state at this particular time, we should recognize what God could be doing and strengthen ourselves in the Lord. You know, you might be doing all the right things and seemingly following all the right principles, but yet everything's going wrong. Everything's falling apart. There doesn't seem to be any answers. There doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel. And listen, I understand that there are times where those things come because of just deserts, if you will, right? Things that we do and we deserve whatever comes along with it from our choices. But there are some times where, like Job is saying, if I'm sinning, if I'm wicked, I don't understand. I'm confused. God help me. I don't understand what's going on. And so please understand that when those times come in our lives, we must trust God. That He knows what's going on and that we can indeed bear what's happening. Now, Job continues in his passionate complaint, one commentator said. He considers God's judgment as harsh and unpleasant. Something that cannot be justified. Did you listen to what he said? If I sin, you're gonna mark me. If I'm wicked, woe unto me. He said, if I'm righteous, I will not lift up my head. He says, I am full of confusion. He says, God, it's like you're hunting me like a lion. You're pursuing me and you're at every turn and it's just, and if you will, he says this, and again, thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Now you got to understand that word marvelous, right? Marvelous are thy works and that my soul knoweth right well. Remember that passage of scripture, right? So please understand, folks, it just means that these are amazing things, things that are out of the ordinary. That's marvelous. All right. And these, the something that we marvel at, right? The jaw drop and the big bug eyes, you know, like, I can't believe what I just saw, right? It kind of like standing in awe, right? And by the way, we misuse words a lot. We say, oh, that's awesome. Is it really though? I mean, God's awesome. Yeah. Anything short of that, it's not so awesome. Okay. But you understand that Job is using these things to express his deep conundrum. He cannot figure this out. He cannot wrap his mind around it. And folks, listen, there are things in our lives that we can't figure out. How many of you can figure out that a missionary family on deputation, trying to go to a field to serve God, gets hit by a drunk driver, and all the missionaries die, and the drunk driver lives. Bah! How can you wrap your head around that? I can't wrap my head around that. I don't understand that. It's just things like that, folks. We don't know what's going on, but we've got to trust that God does. Because very easily we can get mad at God. Very easily we can get bitter with God. And you know, Job, I don't know that he's stepping on those grounds necessarily. But please understand, he says things like this. He says, "Wherefore then, verse 18, hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost and no eye had seen me." So he's going back to what he had said previously about not understanding why he's even in existence. He says, he talks about the grave here and the shadow of death at the end of the chapter here. And he's basically telling God, "God, just give me a little bit of reprieve here so that I can just die in peace. I can have a little comfort before I go off into the darkness." And so please understand that Job is just kind of grasping for straws here. He's trying to understand what God is doing. The problems and the sufferings of sometimes in our lives draw us down and away from God. Folks, please understand, Brother Joel this last week talked about the suicide rate on the reservation. And just recently in the past year, they went up to Alaska to visit the people, native people in Alaska. And it's an interesting thing. He told me that the people group in Alaska and the Navajo come from the same branch of native people. And their languages are very similar. Their history is very similar. It's kind of an interesting dynamic there. But up in Alaska, the suicide rate is ridiculous. Just amongst the native people. It's awful up there. And listen, people are often brought down to the point of just the sorrow and the depression to where they just want to be gone. And folks, we've got to watch out for that. Men, women, teenagers, children are so oppressed and tormented by sin, they think that suicide is the only way out. And folks, it is not the only way out. That's what the devil wants you to come to. That you're not worth anything to God. And listen, God's silence does not mean you're worthless. He's just choosing to be silent. And let me just ask you this question. No matter what happens in your life, whether it's something that's deserved or seemingly undeserved, isn't God still trustworthy? You see, I think one of the things that Job has not yet awoken up to, I guess it's the right way to say that, yet, is that the same God that he served before all these things happened is still the same God now. Because Job was a, if you will, productive man, wealthy man, blessed man, protected man, right? Righteous man. And then the whole world comes crumbling down and he gets stuck in this state of shock, right? This confusion that he has. I don't think the reset button has been hit just yet completely to help Job remember the God that he serves. And in all these things, folks, we need to remember the God that we serve. Think about these things that that David says, and we'll be done tonight. In Psalm 88, David writes this psalm and says, I'll just read to you the introduction. But this was a psalm for the sons of Korah and Heman the Ezrahite. It was called a maskil. And we're going to talk about that actually when we talk about music. And hopefully very soon we're going to be studying about music, amongst other things. But he says this in Psalm 88. He says, "O Lord God, of my salvation. I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. So right there, it sounds a lot like Job, right? Where he says, this darkness is close. God, I just want, are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone that I may take a comfort a little. Right? It sounds very similar to what David is saying here. He says, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. So he's talking about his life, and he's talking about him being associated with the wicked that God has destroyed. That's how Job feels in his life. David goes on to say this. He says, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. And then he says the magical word, if you will, Selah. Now, it's not a magical word, but it just means to stop and ponder, okay? To meditate or to think upon these things. So it's a pause in the psalm. He says, thou hast, then he continues, thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindnesses be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Now that's a very desperate psalm. Right? It's a psalm of separation. It's a psalm of sorrow. He's telling God, God, how long are you going to afflict me? Now, we do not know the source of this affliction necessarily, whether it was deserved or undeserved, if you will. We're going to put it into those two categories. The deserved would be judgment for sin. The undeserved would be the trials and the tribulations and the things that we go through that actually do a positive work in us. But you understand that David says, not only, God, have you thrown me into the pit, but you've separated me from all of those that support me or could support me. And that's how Job feels. Even his friends have come and are an enemy to him. So please understand that these things are very similar. In Psalm 13, David writes and says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Now that's the part of the attitude we have not yet seen from Job. And we will see that from him eventually. But please understand, right now Job is still trying to figure these things out. Again, we don't know the duration of the difficulty that he's going through. We don't know how long it's been exactly. It has been, if you will, in man's terms, a long time. But you know what? David went through these things on a daily basis. David went through these things in a time period that seemed to be a long time that God was not answering him or was keeping silent. Folks, I can't promise you that God's going to answer your requests in a week or in 2 weeks or in a month or in 2 months or in 6 months or a year or in 5 years or in 10 years or in 20 years. I don't know how long is how long. And neither do you. But you know what you can do? You can take courage in the Lord. You can take strength in the Lord. And I want you to listen to the last part again, what David said. He said, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And this is where I want to kind of take, just draw a little connection and then quit tonight. Folks, we need to remember who and what God is in our lives. He's our everything. He is the only reason we have had anything in our lives. And in these times of sorrow, in these times of difficulty, it would have been nice, I suppose, to see that Job remembered that sooner than anything else. But right now, his complaint is before him. You remember what he said at the beginning of verse of chapter 10. I will leave my complaint upon myself, and I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. So he's still hanging on to this. And he hasn't resolved in himself that God is bountiful. No matter what comes in our lives. And listen, folks, even if it's because of judgment, God is still bountiful and generous. Because think about David in his life. The way that God dealt with him in times of punishment. It was still righteous. It still didn't end David's life, right? His existence. And so God still dealt with him. And remember when David numbered the people, he even went so far as to say, I'm going to choose the one that puts me in the hands of God because that's the best place for me to be. So we've got to remember that even in times of trouble, times where it seems like God has hidden his face from us, there is sorrow and depression and discomfort and difficulty, all of these things, we should sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with us. And we got to remember that when the darkness seems so dark, and I like what Job says here, he says, where the light is as darkness. Now that's dark. When the light seems dark, it's dark. You know, how many of you have ever seen one of those dimly lit light bulbs, right? Where the light seems like it's dark. And that's what he's talking about. That's dark. And that's darkness. And we've got to be aware of these times that we remember our great God.